And so these six infinitive constructs, they show purpose for the 490 years that have been decreed upon Daniel's people and Daniel's holy city, Jerusalem. And so God has a purpose with these 490 years. And really what he's going to do is he's going to bring Daniel's people, the Jews, Israel, and the land, and the city where these things find their ultimate fulfillment in the millennial kingdom and going into the millennial kingdom. And so when you read those six infinitive constructs, remember that includes Daniel's 70th week. And so that's important because that's when we're talking about Daniel's 70th week. Now, that's remember, that's a week of years, 7 years, that's still yet future when the church will no longer be here. And so we'll talk about some of that as we move on, especially as we move into next week, where we're going to look at some things in verse 26, that after the 69 weeks. And so today, though, we're going to look at some things in verse 25 that leads us up to the end of the 69th week of these 70 weeks. Now, let's just refresh our memory on a couple things. Let's read Daniel 9, 1 and 2 here, or let's at least read Daniel 9, 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish or just fill up 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Excuse me. And so Daniel's studying, and he understands that these 70 years that relate to Israel's exile and Jerusalem was about to be filled up, about to be accomplished. Now let's just go back to Jeremiah 25 real quick and just take a look there. This is all review. And Jeremiah 25, and well, let me just read verse 11. We could expand the context, but verse 11 will do it. Jeremiah 25, 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And so Daniel knew that the exile was getting close to fulfilling that which Jeremiah spoke of. And so this is going to motivate Daniel then as an Old Testament prophet to communicate to God. And so we've gone over that in Daniel 9. And there's a couple things I'm going to point out here in Daniel 9 before we move forward. But let's pray and we'll pick up. Father, we're grateful to be your children. We're thankful for the privileges of gathering together and relating to your word. And we just pray that you continue to bless us in this hour. And we'll thank you for what you do. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go and cover all of Daniel 9 again and his communication to the Father, but I want to just point out a couple things that are interesting here. If you'll notice in Daniel 9:16, in his communication here, I'm going to point out a couple pronouns or to emphasize something. In 9:16, here Daniel says, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem." Now, it's thy city is your city. And so this is what he's speaking in his communication to God, to Adonai here. And is the title I believe he uses here in 9:16. He says, to your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the perversities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and your people. Again, he refers to Adonai as these are your people. are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now let's just skip on down to 9:18. He says, O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name. He says, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for your tender compassions. Now, and when we get to verse 19 is actually what I wanted. He says, O Adonai, hear, O Adonai, forgive, O Adonai. Hearken and do defer not for thy own sake, O my Elohim, for your city and your people are called by thy name. And so you see this in Jeremiah's communication, referring to the Jews as Adonai's people, the Jerusalem as his city. And now when we come to Daniel's communication, and I won't pick up in 9:21 here, but in 9:24, notice what Gabriel says. He says 70 sevens or 70 weeks. These are weeks of years are determined upon your people, Daniel, and upon your holy city, Daniel. And so Daniel's the ellipsis here. That's who he's talking to. And so he makes a subtle change there, a subtle difference in what Daniel had been communicated. Now, I think the reason he is doing that is because Jehovah the Father, if in a sense, has divorced his wife Israel at this point in time. Now, if we go to Hosea, and I'm going to read a little bit in Hosea. And so before I do read in Hosea, let me just mention here that parental guidance is suggested. Because Hosea was involved, he was married to a woman who became unfaithful and had some children to another man while she was married to Hosea. And God is going to use this as an illustration of his relationship to Israel. And so if we go to Hosea, and let me just pick up in chapter 1 and verse 2. And I'm just going to read down through here for a little while. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, of prostitutions, and children of whoredoms. For the land has committed great whoredom, or just prostituted itself, departing from the Lord. So he, Hosea, went and he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge or visit the bloods of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it will come to pass in that day that I will speak, or I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Now we have we're going to have the birth of two other sons here who are going to be outside the bonds of marriage for sure. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah. Now, Lo Ruhamah means here, let's see, where is my, just unpitied, or yeah, without pity. For I will no more have pity or compassion upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy or tender compassion, here is the word, upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. And so it gives you a little bit of a background now. And so we're just surveying a few things here, but I wanted to read that so that you can kind of understand when we get to chapter 2 here. And I'm going to just read in chapter 2 and pick up in 2:2. Well, let me pick up in 2:1, because here you'll see the names changed with the low is dropped from the names, which means un. Low means un or not. And so say to your brethren, Ammi. And so just my people. And say to your sisters, Ruhamah, having obtained pity or compassion. And so here, this is speaking of Israel. This is being used in a sense. Here, I believe, this would be a message to the believing remnant, if you would, of Israel. He says, strive with your mother. And so the mother that's being illustrated here is Gomer, who's been unfaithful. But the illustration is of Israel. Israel has committed spiritual adultery. And so here, strive with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her man or her husband. Let her therefore put away her prostitutions out of her sight or face, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and to slay her, just causing her to die with thirst. Now he's speaking symbolically here of Israel. And he says in verse 4, and I will not have mercy or tender compassion upon her sons, for they be the sons of whoredoms, just of prostitution. Prostitutions. He says, for their mother has prostituted herself. It just played the harlot. It just means she's prostituted herself. And so this has reference not only to Gomer, but this is, he's speaking of Israel here. She that conceived them has done shamefully, has just caused shame. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drinks. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. Kind of the idea to herd the paths to depart and to be committing whoredoms. And shall pursue after, and she shall pursue after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. And verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. Now, this is all speaking of Israel. This is all dealing with, really, Jehovah the Father's divorce from Israel. Now, this is not a permanent situation, though. Israel is promised restoration, and there will be a remarriage. And so you can see that. And so let's just read 2:19 and 20 just so you can see this. It says, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in tender compassions. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know thy Lord." And that's true of Israel. Now, I'll just comment on this, betrothal here. In the Oriental society, betrothal was just as strong as marriage. And so it's a lot stronger than what we have in our society today as an engagement. You can't even draw the comparison between a betrothal and an engagement. And so Israel will be brought to a place where she will come back into a relationship, if you will. And Jehovah the Father will remarry her in a sense. Now, as we go back to Daniel then, let's consider a few things here. So let's go back to Daniel 9. And so in Daniel 9, when you read these six infinitive constructs that were giving the purpose for this 490 years, let's pick up in Daniel 9:24. 70 sevens are determined or decided. And so 70 sevens, these are 490 years. And so 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now we have the six infinitive constructs to finish the transgression, to cause to make an end of sins, to make a covering for perversity, and to cause to bring in the righteousness of the ages, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. And so here are six pretty straightforward purposes of the 490 years. And so now when we move to Daniel 9:25, and then this is where we're going to just focus here for the remainder of our time today. Here we have Gabriel say, "Know therefore and understand." Let me read the whole verse and then we'll come back. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince," or just "unto," "shall be seven sevens." So we have seven sevens. That's 49 years. "And threescore and two sevens." And so that's 62 sevens, or 434 years. And so, "and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." And so, let's just back up. And so, Gabriel here says to Daniel, "Know." The word "know" has the idea to recognize, observe, to learn to know, or recognize, therefore. "And because to understand." Now, this is a hifil. It's an imperfect. "Begin," proceed to be, "cause to understand." And the word "understand" here, we had this word back in 9:22. And in your King James Version, it's just translated "to give thee skill." It's the same word there, "to give thee skill." And then you have an understanding. It's not the understanding word in 9:22. He says, "Know and proceed to be made to be given the skill, the idea to be prudent, to have insight, to be given comprehension. It's the kind of the idea of comprehension or insight. And so recognize and be made to begin to be made to comprehend that the going forth here of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, and the word to translated that going forth, it just literally means springing forth, or the issue that the going forth, or the issue of the command, springing forth of the command. And the word command here just literally means a thing spoken. That the issuing of the word or the thing spoken to restore and to build Jerusalem. And the word restore, it's another hifil, it's a causative, and it just literally means to return or to bring back. Really, it says that from the issuing forth of the word spoken to cause to bring back or to return and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah. It's going to be these 483 years is what he's saying here. And so now we know it's so we have this this returning back, or this rebuilding, if you will, of Israel now, or of Jerusalem. Now, we went back here in the past, but let's just do this for review. And that was in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And 2 Chronicles 36, and I'm just going to pick up in verse 18. Second Chronicles 36, I'm going to read from verses 18 to 21. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and they broke down the wall of Jerusalem. And so have you noticed that they broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and they burn all the places thereof with fire, and they destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept her Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years, or 70 years. In other words, the land had missed out of her Sabbath, the Sabbath year, the seventh year, for 490 years. And Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple, the house of God was burnt, destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were taken down. And the survivors were hauled off into captivity. And so when we come back to Daniel 9:25 then, and we see that from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or in other words, 483 years. So the question really becomes is, well, when did this occur? When did this command, when did this thing spoken, when was it issued? And so we're going to find that if we go back into Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Now let's go to Nehemiah, and we'll pick up in Nehemiah chapter 1. Okay. Let's see, it should have been right after Ezra. So let's just read a little bit in chapter 1. Let's read 1 through 4. And then we're going to go to chapter 2. And this is where you'll have the command, or really the word is spoken, though, is issued to cause to bring back and rebuild Jerusalem. And so in Nehemiah 1:1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, which is it's November, December in our calendar. In the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant, or just the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so Jerusalem was in pretty rough shape. It's been utterly destroyed. Verse 4, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but verse 11 is the last verse in chapter 1. And you see the very last clause. It's, for I was the king's cupbearer. So you see that of Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer. Now, as we go into chapter 2, here we're going to have the springing forth, or the issuing here of the word spoken to restore and to build Jerusalem. It's going to be in Nehemiah chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Now, the month of Nisan is our March or April. And I say March, April, because the Jewish calendar is based on the lunar calendar. And so it depends on how the moon, the cycle of the moon. Usually the month began around a new moon, and somewhere around the 14th or 15th of the Jewish month would be the full moon. And so, for instance, the month of Nisan is the month of the Passover. Okay? So keep that in mind, that it's the month of the Passover. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, the 20th year. Now, history, there's been a lot of, there's been archaeological support that King Artaxerxes came into power in 465 A.D., okay, so the 20th year is going to be 445 BC. So he came to power in 465 BC, and the 20th year would then be 445 BC. Okay, and so we'll just put that into mind. So the 20th year here of the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And so we saw that the information he's got, he's fasting, he's distraught, he's been communicating as an Old Testament prophet. In verse 2, he says, wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. He's going to have to tell the king. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou makest request? So I prayed to God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me, unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah, into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. And so I believe what we have here is what Gabriel was prophesying to Daniel, that from the going forth of the command, of the thing spoken, to cause to bring back or restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah. And so this word that I just translated, until, as far as, up till, Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, or 49 years, and 62 weeks, 434 years. And so, what we have here, now it's interesting, and I'm not going to do the math. I may bring out a whiteboard next week if I need to look back there and see if there's still one available. I haven't brought the whiteboard out for a while. But it's interesting. There's a book written by a gentleman named Sir Robert Anderson. You should know by the name Sir. He's an English guy. But he spent quite a bit of time doing some mathematics and calculating. And he used the 445 date in the month of Nisan, B.C., to calculate the 483 years. And to do that, he had to change some things in the years because of the Jewish year being 360 days instead of the 365 because of the lunar calendar and so forth. And then you have some things that have to be adjusted for around zero, because to go from 1 B.C. to 1 A.D. is just 1 year, and some things like that. But it's interesting is what he calculated is that to the day that this commandment was given in the month of Nisan in 445 BC to 32 AD, the day that Christ entered into Jerusalem, was exactly 483 years to the day. And I find that pretty interesting because that's pretty exact. And I think that's where we are when we come to this next part. It's that from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem until as far as up to Messiah the Prince. Well, when was up to or until Messiah the Prince? We know that the day he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. But that just marked really the beginning of his 3.5 year earthly ministry. But the day that he came into Jerusalem was the day that he announced publicly and to the nation of Israel that he was the Messiah. Now, he had been doing it in small groups and numbers, and he had been doing a number of sign miracles to demonstrate his deity. He had been doing other miracles, healing the sick, making the blind to see, healing the lame, that demonstrated that he was the Messiah. But when he arrived in Jerusalem, he did so in a way that announced his arrival as the Messiah. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 21. And so in Matthew 21, this is his entrance into Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life. We're under a week. And so when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. The Lord. Really, I believe it's kind of the idea of Jehovah here, emphasizing his deity. But anyway, and straight away, he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king comes unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and they did as Jesus commanded them. And so here we have what's referred to as the so-called triumphal entry. In a sense, it was kind of the anticlimactic entry, because I believe the triumphal entry will be at the second coming, will be the triumphal entry. But this this word that was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion. This comes from Zechariah 9:9. And so let's go over to Zechariah 9:9. I'm going to point out something. There was a little part of that verse that was left out here in Matthew. In Zechariah 9:9, it reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. And this next little clause is the part that's left out in Matthew. He is just and having salvation. And then humble and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And so as he fulfilled Scripture, it was his public announcement to the nation Your king is here. Your king is here. He was fulfilling the prophecy that he was the promised Messiah, the king, the prince of Israel, David's greater son. And so when we come to Daniel and we start putting this together, we have this marking the end of the 69th week. This is the end of the 69th week. And so let me just read Daniel. I didn't finish the last clause in Daniel, but in Daniel 9:25, Gabriel says, "Know therefore and begin to be caused to have comprehension that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks, which is 434 years, or 483 years total." And so this marks, and so the 49 years, I believe, was the time period it took to completely rebuild Jerusalem. And so what we have is we have Israel in exile for 70 years. Then we have a little bit of a gap. And then we have 49 years from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem and restore it, where the Jews are they're still outside the land, but Jerusalem's being rebuilt. And then we have 434 years where Israel is back in the land. But this isn't in the way that they were promised back in the first Abrahamic covenant. And so they're still under the curses of the law. They're not receiving the full benefits of the law during this. And so we have 483 years, or 69 weeks, that finds its fulfillment, its completion, at the arriving of the Lord into Jerusalem on this colt. And it says, "And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." And so you can go back and you can read in Nehemiah the beginning of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, just how difficult it was. They were building the wall and the gates, and they were working and doing a lot of work, and they were doing it with their swords on them, because there was a lot of opposition, and that was the beginning of it. Now, we're going to stop here today, but let's just take a preview into next week, Lord willing. When we get to verse 26, it's after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And so it's after the 62 weeks, or the 434 years. But remember, the 49 years was before that. And so the 69 weeks comes to an end when he arrives in Jerusalem. And so here Scripture talks right here about a parenthesis. There's a gap between the 69th and the 70th week. And so we're going to develop that, because one of the things we know that fits in that parenthesis between the 69th and the 70th week is us, the church. And we know until God is done calling out a people for his name from among Gentiles, that the 70th week isn't going to begin. And so we'll talk about that too, because as soon as that last Gentile believer is called to his salvation, I believe at that time the hardness is going to be lifted from Israel. And I think it'll happen. And then the rapture is going to happen. And I think the reason for that is, we looked at a couple things I mentioned in Matthew that kind of indicate that. But I think the rapture is going to have an effect on some Jews that have had the hardness removed from their heart. It's going to convict them. And then we'll see that the 70th week ultimately is going to begin with the signing of a covenant, a treaty between the coming prince and Israel. And so we're going to, next week in verse 26, we'll spend some more time looking at the gap. But this brings us up to the end of the 69th week. And so we'll close here, and Lord willing, we'll come back next week. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us, how you provide us opportunities to be in your word, to be with other believers, and we're thankful for our happy hope. And just may you continue to use your word to build us up and encourage us where we're at. And we'll thank you. Amen.